I told him I pretty much did this as a replica. Everything that y'all did here, I did it over there. And so I kind of stole a little bit. It was a Christian type of stealing, Bob. I mean, it was the right way. And so this church has been an example. And let me tell you, sometimes you don't realize the many blessings that you have because you have to get outside of it really to look in and to see. But you know what? A lot of churches do not have this age group that you all have. And you know what? A lot of churches do not have the zeal that you all have. And God has given you a great group of people that have zeal for God and that desire to serve God. Never lose that. That's a wonderful thing. And always teach your children to grow up after it and to continue on. Let's not lose that next generation. Let's continue going forward. Well, last time I was here, it was, I guess, maybe a year and a half ago. And when I was here, it was wonderful. If I didn't have the privilege of meeting you last time, or you were not here, allow me to say it is a privilege to meet you now. My name is Jeff. My wife, Mindy. We have five children. We're trying to repopulate this world. Amen. I mean, five children. I am half rabbit. Anyway, I've got four daughters and one son. And we are very thankful. After our quiver was full, we said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and giving my children. That is enough, Lord. Thank you. And we have five children. We are very thankful for them. And God has been very good to us. Last time I came, I did not have this. I tried to. Several of my friends always told me, you know, you need to try in November, no shave November. Well, last November, I really wanted to have the guts to do it, but I was visiting some churches and some didn't, you know, they didn't look at me so well. So I said, you know what, fooey on everybody this year, I'm going no shave November. And so I told my wife, how do you like it? She said, well, let it grow a little bit more. You know, I've been a couple weeks in this and I'm trying, I'm thinking, man, I'm starting to look like a real man. You know, at least I'm feeling it anyway, you know. And I said, well, how do you like it? And she felt, and she said, yeah, I'm really glad you got to try it, you know? And I, okay, what's that supposed to mean? So here comes the end of November, I got to shave this baby off. You know what I mean? It took me how many years? I'm almost 15 years married till I got permission to grow it. Now I got to shave it off. Man alive, you know? But, you know, I've tried anyway. You know, I've worked at it. The only problem is, every once in a while when you see somebody's got, you know, the big Duck Dynasty beard, and you ever walk up to them and you're talking to them and they got something in their beard and like the whole thing, you're like, you have no idea what he's talking about. You're just staring. Do you know you got oregano right here? You know, and so you're looking. So I'm working at that. So every time I eat now, I go like this, you know, I'm always nervous about it. So, well, let's jump in the Bible. Philippians chapter number one. The book of Philippians is one of those prison epistles. There were many epistles, the general epistles and the pastoral epistles, the 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Well, Paul, under the inspiration of God, he wrote this book while he was in prison. And as he wrote this book, imagine with me, if you would have wrote a book when you were in prison, how would that book be? I can tell you how it would be for me. This stinks. I hate it. It's cold. I do not have a good pillow. Everything's horrible. No McDonald's in here. For crying out loud, I hate this place. But Paul uses this opportunity when he's in a bad situation just to encourage other people. And he goes throughout the book and says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In chapter number 4, verse number 13, he tells us that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. He goes on even a little bit further in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. He says that it's our God that's to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he goes throughout this book telling us, hey, he started something in you in Philippians 1, 6. And he'll perform it, he'll continue it, he'll perfect it all the way until the day of Jesus Christ. He says in chapter number 2 that he talks about humility in verse number 5 all the way down to verse number 11. And then he jumps over in verse number 13 and he says it's God which worketh in you both to will that desire and to do it. So God puts a desire in it. And let me tell you, dear friends, if God's putting a desire in you, like you, young man, who's going out to preach today, praise the Lord. If God puts a desire in you, God can perfect that desire and God can help you do that. Amen. Sometimes we say, God, I'm not qualified. And God says, that's what I'm looking for right there. Amen. Someone who's simply willing to go out and do it. Well, Paul writes this book and he begins to encourage people. Well, I want to focus our eyes on chapter number 1 specifically this morning, and I want to talk to you about something that I believe is very important that Paul's going to touch on right here in this passage, and that is this, the reason that you and I are here. Not necessarily why we're here in the church, although yes, but why are we here? Not necessarily just in Missouri, although yes. Why are we upon this planet? Is it because that, you know, fate Or is it because it was an accident or a coincidence? Or is it that we're just floating through life? Or mom and dad wasn't expecting anybody else and we're the little surprise of the family? Or why are we really here? Have you ever thought about that? And I believe, as was mentioned in our song service, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I believe it with all my heart. The times, the signs, everything's pointing towards it. Our Lord's coming back soon. And if he's coming back soon, that means the devil's working overtime. He can't take me to hell because I am in the hands of Christ, which is in the hand of God, and no man can pluck us out. I have eternal life. He paid the debt. I didn't pay the debt. There's nothing that I did that would get my salvation. I crossed from death into life, and I can never turn back. He saved me, and what a blessing. But since the devil can't take me to hell, the devil can do everything that he can to frustrate my life so that I do not produce fruit in my life. Therefore, my children do not see God in my life, or they do not hear in the next generation and all those around me. They never see God because I've gotten all confused about the reason that I'm really here upon this planet. And so many times we think maybe it's here because I've got talent, or maybe I'm here because I'm making a lot of money, or maybe it's here because of who I am, or whatever it may be. And although there's nothing wrong with money, and there's nothing wrong with family, and there's nothing wrong with sports, and there's nothing wrong with any of the other them and of themselves, they are wrong, because we are to put him first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto him. So you and I are to have our focus on right, and the devil's trying to push our focus away. So I want to show you very quickly, very easily, very simply, some simple basic principles of why you and I are here upon this planet. Now, I'm not a very deep theological person. I'll leave that up to Bob and other people who are a lot better at it than myself. I'm very simple, and I hope that you can make it through with me, and let's see some very simple steps that you probably know, but I want to remind you, because sometimes it's those simple things that we need to be reminded about. And sometimes it's those things that almost that we neglect because we know them so well. So go with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Let's begin our reading in verse number 19, could we? Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 19. And the Bible says this, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, my deliverance out of here. My salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is in prison right now. He says, I know that I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be saved out of this prison. I'm going to get out of here. And say, how in the world do you know that? Because of your prayers and obviously the supply of the Spirit, capital S there, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to get out of here. And seems like he's got a very positive attitude, although he's in the midst of all his problems. And so I ask you very quickly before we jump in here, how do you handle the problems? How do we go through life? And many times, dear friends, it's someone said, or I read it in a book a long time ago, it made a lot of sense to me, but most of life, the only 15% is what happens to us in life, and probably 85% is how we react to what happens to us in life. In other words, you can't help what happens to you, but you can control how you react to what happened to you in life. And sometimes we get in the deep, the discouragement, the rough times, the family problems and the work problems, financial and everything else, and we don't handle those right. Well, Paul gives us a good example, and he says, now I know I'm going to get out. I know that this is going to be all right. God is still in control. He's still on the throne. Everything will still work out. We'll jump down to verse number 20. Ready? The Bible says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, look at it, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be, next word. Christ shall be, would you help me with the next word? He shall be, what does it say? Magnified. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul has this attitude here, and he says, you know, whatever happens, I will first of all realize that Christ will be magnified. So why are we here upon this planet? Why did God place us here? Number one, I want to show you from right here. Number one, we are here, number one, to magnify Jesus Christ in our lives. Would you say that with me? Why are we here, number one, to what? Magnify. Paul said, whether it be by life or by death, I am here simply to magnify my Savior. In other words, just as you get a magnifying glass and you look and you can see all the big picture so close and all the little details, in the same way Paul says, when somebody looks at me or somebody hears me or someone's around me, I want them to see Jesus through my life and my attitude, my heart and my actions and everything I do. You see, Christians, church is not something that we do, or the spiritual life is not something that we do only on Sundays and midweek. It is a way we live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You see, I'm a child of God, and you are a child of God. And so we don't box different areas and say, well, this is my spiritual life, this is my family life, this is my work life, and this is my free time. No, no, no. If you're a child of God, all of this is your spiritual life because it all belongs to God. And so Paul says, whether I die, and I sure don't want to, but I'm ready to, whether I die or whether I live, anything that happens to me, I am here to magnify Jesus Christ in my life. It's very interesting, in another portion of Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and verse number 31, the Bible, Paul speaking again under the inspiration of God, and he says this, he says, whether I eat, or I drink, or anything else that I do, it's almost like he's saying, I do not have time to make a big old list. So if I eat or drink or anything else, let it all be to the glory of God. So whatever you do, let it all be to the glory of God. May He be magnified in your life. That's your testimony. That's what you live. That's what other people see. So you and I, listen, dear friend, we're to magnify Him at our workplace tomorrow. We're to magnify Him even when we're at home. When I was in Argentina, we served, and it was very interesting because sometimes people would come to church and they would get in their cars and they'd be on their way to church and man, they were going at it. You know how some Sunday mornings, you're not exactly thrilled about waking up. It's almost like the pillow's calling, please stay with me a little while longer. You know, you're like, I am tempted. I really want it. And you're looking, you're like, oh, and so you finally wake up and you get the kids ready. You know, you got the shoes on the wrong feet and then you got the wrong shoes put together and, you know, half the clothes on. You get everybody in. I'm hungry. Just shut up and get in the car, you know, and I need to fix my hair. Well, why didn't you think about it? You know, everybody's in a rough mood. You're on your way to church and you close the door. Man, everybody's screaming at each other. Would you be quiet? Can we turn on the music? I don't want music. Would you be quiet? Shut up. Quit fighting back there. Everybody's going at it. And all of a sudden, and I know this is only in Argentina. It doesn't happen here. But all of a sudden, someone would drive up and they would get to the church parking lot. They would put it in park and they would get out. And when they opened the door, it's almost like some spiritual air was outside and it seeped in. It goes in the car, and everybody gets out of the car, and they all start smiling. How you doing today? Good to see you. Wonderful. Oh, God is good. How about that? Boy, preacher gets up, and he goes on preaching, and God really touches their heart. And man, they get done, and they're like, wow, that was amazing. I never realized that spiritual truth. And then they go back, and wow, you think, this is going to change their life. And all of a sudden, they get in the car, and they're back in the car. Come on in, kids. Great. Boy, it was a good mess. The last door shuts, and all the spiritual air goes out. Shuts the door. And they're like, what are you looking at? Shut up back there. I'm hungry. Shut up. We'll get food when we get food. You know, and all of a sudden, you're like, what in the world just happened? And it's like we magnify the Lord at church, but it's a whole different thing at home and at work and in our life, normal life. Does that make sense? And He told us that we are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Remember Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, 14? Well, go down just a few verses in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You see, we're not to be a goody-two-shoe to be a goody-two-shoe and look at, but we are to live in a way that our attitude and our actions and our behavior and everything about us honors God so that when other people see us, they can glorify our Father which is in heaven. We have an idea sometimes that if we change our outward garment, we comb our hair just right and we look just right, then everybody's going to think that is a Christian. That has nothing to do with the Christian. We used to see people saved in Argentina and get out of jail, and we thought, praise the Lord, and they would get out of jail. One of the guys, he was a dentist in the jail, and he would lead people to the Lord, and God started this ministry right there, and boy, people would get out of jail, and they would go to other provinces, and some people would come to our church, and they would put on a tie, and they would look beautiful and wonderful, and they'd walk in our church, but you know what changed of them? Nothing but the outward appearance. They were still the nasty inward person that they were before, and they go right back to it. You know what God says? I don't want to work from the outside in. I want to work from the inside out. And as your heart changes and as your life changes and everything about you changes, then I will be glorified. I will be magnified and other people can see me. It's like the moon and the sun. Did you know that the moon really doesn't have any power in and of itself? It receives all of its power from the sun. And when the sun shines and it hits the moon, then the moon begins to brightly shine in the night and we can see it. And so we can see around us. Well, dear friend, listen, you and I are absolutely nothing. But when we let the Lord shine in our lives, wonderful things can happen. Go with me very quickly to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. Several of you are looking, what's going on in the back walls? There's some demons in the back walls, if you're wondering. It's okay. We'll make our way through it, all right? You know, I used to preach in Argentina. When we started our second church in Argentina, I remember I would go up there and I preach on a patio. And there were chickens. And these demonic chickens started clucking every time I would say, open your Bible. Bah, 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 bah. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. Kill those little things. You know, Chick-fil-A sandwiches free for everybody, you know? Like, this is ridiculous. Well, anyway, we had all kinds of, I remember sometimes I would get out there and all of a sudden a dog would come in our church and he'd run around. This is when we first started. He'd run around all of the seats just like this. He'd run around the seats and I'd be standing up there singing. I thought, and so I'd stop the song service and I'd say, would somebody get the dog out of here before I have a sacrifice unto the Lord? I mean, get the thing out, you know? I mean, it's killing me here. And, you know, so many things would happen. I'd have, when we first started, there was nobody that was ready to, really, a few people that everybody would visit. And so didn't have any ushers. I did everything. I led the singing. I gave the offering. I preached, gave the announcement. I did everything. And finally, we had some men that were starting to grow, you know, mature in the Lord. And so they could be ushers and stuff. And I remember multiple times, someone would walk up in front. He was a drunk guy. And I'd be leading the singing. He'd walk up and he'd go, yeah. I thought, somebody help the man. Get him out of here. So it's okay, all right? 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Turn there very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. All right, let's see if we can focus just for a minute, all right? 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. So why in the world are you and I here upon this planet? Why did God place us here? Is it by accident? Is it by coincidence? What are we here for? The very first reason you and I are here, number one, remember what we said? Why are we here, number one, to what?
Magnify.
Would you say that loud? Number one, why are we here to what?
Magnify.
The Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, whether it be by life or by death, and anything that we do and anything we say, we're to magnify the Lord. But let me show you something else. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we see once again that Paul, under the inspiration of God, he's writing. And Paul is the same author of Philippians. And look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. In verse number 1, the Bible says, thou therefore, my son, this time he's writing not the church of Philippi, but his son Timothy in the faith, this spiritual son that he's taught up and he brought up in the Lord. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse number 2, you ready? Here we go. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So look right here one second. What is Paul saying? He says, you know, you've heard, he's speaking to Timothy. And he says, now, Timothy, the things that I've given you and I've received from the Lord and the others have taught me, these things, Timothy, I'm giving them to you. You've received them amongst many witnesses. And these things, Timothy, I don't want you to keep in your pocket. I want you to give them to others, but not just anybody. I want you to give them to faithful men. And these faithful men are not just going to put it in their bag or they're not going to throw it under the desk. These faithful men are going to teach others also. So in other words, we're going to go from one generation to another generation to another generation to another generation of people hearing the gospel because you and I are multiplying ourselves as God's children. We are passing along what God has chosen us. So why are we here? Come back with me. Why are we here? Number one, we are here to what?
Magnify.
Magnify not ourselves, magnify the Lord so others can see it. But number two, why are we here? We are here to multiply. Would you say that? Why are we here? Number two, to what?
Multiply.
To multiply ourselves. In other words, we, you and I, as God's children, are to multiply ourselves. We are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others can hear and that others can be saved. Now, obviously, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. But I am the vessel to be used to open my mouth. And when I open my mouth, the Holy Spirit can begin doing the work. And that person can hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit can do the work. And that person can be saved. Amen. We're to multiply ourselves over and over and over and share the gospel with other people to multiply ourselves. You see, that is our responsibility. And wherever he went, Paul and Timothy, they went over and Paul, he began to multiply himself by sharing and by teaching men such as Titus and Timothy and Silvanus and other men. He was teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and multiplying himself and other people were hearing the gospel. Now, what is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is that you and I, every one of us, not a certain group, not just preachers or missionaries or just the faithful ones, all of us as God's children are to go to preach and teach the gospel and then see them baptized and then continue teaching them, discipling them so that they can grow so that other people can hear the gospel. When we were in Argentina, I told you we stole many of your things that you did right here. And so we started these groups and
we would tell them, we had some lessons. You go through these groups, and ours would go about eight lessons long, and you go through these lessons, and you teach somebody, and then you let go of that person, and that person will start teaching somebody else. And the goal was, you are never finished discipling somebody until that disciple, the one you taught, has now began to teach somebody else, so that our church can multiply themselves. They can go forward. They can continue to grow, and that is the way we are going to grow, dear friends. They say that Muslims are taking over the United States of America. They say that different religions are spreading wide. And the reason is because there's more influence and they're pushing more. They're multiplying themselves much quicker than you and I are. And as children of God, we have the truth. We are to multiply ourselves. We're to share the gospel with other people. When we were in Argentina, there was some young children that we used to pick up on our bus route. And we got this bus. Someone helped us get this bus, and so we used it for a while, and we took it around, and we used to pick up these there was about three little girls in this one area, and they were some, and my wife would go over with the other, now one of the pastor's wives, at the time he was assistant, and they would go over, and they would pick them up, and my wife would pick them up. Well, one day, the mom and dad would never come out. When we would go pick them up, the dad, according to his testimony, he would always run inside. He was always, you know, he was always drunk, and he was always had his lifestyle, so he'd always run inside, and he wanted nothing to do with us. Here comes those weird church people, you know, and so he'd run inside. Well, one day, they were having all kinds of problems. They were going so far that he was living a whole different lifestyle. His wife hated him, and they were going to separate, and his wife got this piece of glass, and she tried to commit suicide at least once or twice, and so she held this piece of glass. She was getting ready to slit her wrist, according to what she says. She was getting ready to kill herself. And then it was all going to be over. Well, she woke up that next morning, according to her own testimony. She woke up that next morning, the piece of glass fell out of her hand. She said she had it gripped in her hand. She was going to kill herself when she got enough nerve when her husband went to sleep. But she didn't. She fell asleep and it fell out of her hand. So they woke up that next morning. And when they woke up, he said, you know what? This has gone too far. And let's try to go there with our kids this morning and see what's going on at those, you know, that crazy house over there, that church place. And so they came over and both of them heard the gospel and both of them got saved. Amen. Well, very soon they both got baptized. And I began to talk to him. I said, Hernan, why don't you come and would you like to study the Bible a little bit more? And he did, and then he jumped into Bible college. And as he jumped into Bible college, he began to study the Bible more, and he began to do wonderful things. Well, they began to bring people to church left and right. And I mean, they were not just bringing a couple people to church, they were filling up the bus. And I thought, this is awesome. I wish I had everybody would do this. You know, I mean, this is great. So we were filling people up. And so one day my wife goes up to her name is Rosa. So my wife said, Rosa, how in the world are you filling up this church, but I mean, bringing so many people to church. This is wonderful. I mean, I know you're a new Christian, but tell me how you're doing it. We got to learn this secret and share with everybody. So she looks at my wife, very, you know, very sincere, new Christian. She says, well, what I do is I go around the people in my neighborhood and I knock on the door and I tell them, today is my birthday. And I want to invite them to my birthday party. And so I tell them to come out to the street corner and meet me at certain such and such hour. And I'm going to pick them up and I'm going to take them to my birthday party. Man. And my wife said, but Rosa, what don't they realize when they get to church that it's not your birthday? She says, oh, yeah, by then they're hearing the gospel. It's all okay. Yeah. Thinking, you can't do that. That's lying. But God bless your lying. Keep it up. You're doing well, you know. Thinking, what in the world are you thinking? And this lady simply began to bring people, not the best way around, but she began to bring people left and right, and they were bringing tons of people. And the reason in her mind was, God has saved my marriage. God has given me a home in heaven. Amen. Buddy, this is too good to be true. I got to share this with other people. Amen. And she went around her very ingenious way of going and brought people to church. Do you know, a couple years later, they started the next Baptist church in our area. And he took about 40 to 50 people out of our church to go start the new church. And the majority of the people that he took to go start the new church, almost all of them, he brought to church or one to the Lord himself. What a way to start a church. Amen. I mean, this is amazing. And now we see pictures of the church, how they're growing, how they're going well. And he's already talking about, he calls me pastor. He says, pastor, he says, I think God wants me to go out to another area and start. And I said, Hernan, you've got to leave it with a lot of men and do all these. So he's always sending me pictures. Here's all these men who are prepared. They're all preachers and they're all going. I'm saying, praise the Lord. You know how it all started? She began to get on fire. He began to get on fire. They said, buddy, we got to share this. They began to multiply themselves and wonderful things began to happen. You see, they say, I read a book. It was a wonderful book, actually. I think it was called "The One Heart Before One Heartbeat Before Heaven, The Only Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, a couple different books. Very good. And he says some stats in that book, and he says that less than 2% of Bible-believing, church-going Christians actually share the gospel with other people. And sometimes we wonder, well, why aren't more people getting saved? And why aren't more people, maybe because you and I are the ones who have the responsibility. So why did God place you here? Did God place you here so that you can gain all the money, that you can get all the friends, and that you can... Why did God place you here? Or was it because God wants you to multiply sharing His gospel all around the world? So why are we here? We are here, first of all. Let's turn back to the book of Philippians chapter number 1. We make our way back there. Philippians in chapter number 1. So why are we here, dear friends? Why are we upon this planet? Why are we in this world? Is it... because, well, I don't know. I mean, we're just making our way through. Why are we here? Is it because God has a purpose? And I beg and plead with you, God does have a purpose, a specific purpose for each and every one of us. God wants to use your life. You're not another number for God. God wants to use you specifically. And you have influence with people at your work and influence with family members that nobody else has. And sometimes in Argentina, people would say, well, I just don't know the verses like so-and-so, and I just don't have the way to talk to them, and I'll get nervous if they ask me a question, so maybe I should invite pastor or somebody over with me to my work. And I say, oh no, God has given you influence with that person like nobody else has. Amen. So you share the gospel where God has planted you. And begin to do what God has placed you to do. Well, go over to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Let's continue our reading where we left off there. Why is God placed here? Philippians chapter 1, verse number 21. We'll start there. The Bible says this. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Verse number 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a tight spot betwixt two. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That parallel passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8. You remember that to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. You know, I mean, there's no purgatory, as they taught in South America. There's no middle ground. There's no waiting period. There's no time there. You're absent from the body. You're present with the Lord. If you're a child of God, you're going to go straight with Him. And what a blessing. And Paul says, you know what? I'm really not nervous here. I know when I leave here, I know exactly where I'm going. So the sickness and the pain and the struggles, all this doesn't scare me. I'm ready for it. I'm prepared for it. He says, but I'm having a hard time here. Verse number 24. Nevertheless, Paul said, you know, I'd rather get on out of here. Nevertheless, verse number 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, it's more needful for, what does it say? More needful for who?
You.
What is he talking about? He says, you know, I would love to get on out of here. Boy, that would be awesome. I would be with my Lord. I would have no more problems. I would have nobody else, you know, giving me all these, you know, my neighbor problems or work or financial struggles. I wouldn't have any sickness. Man, it'd be awesome just to get out of here, go straight with my Lord. But I know I need to stay around here. And he said, it's more needful for me to stay here for you. That pronoun you is talking about the church of Philippi, a congregation. He says, it's more needful for me to stay for you. Now look at verse number 25, and having this confidence, I know and that I shall abide and continue with who?
You.
All for your furtherance and joy of faith. Verse number 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to who?
You.
Again. So he says over and over this pronoun, you're saying, what in the world are you talking about? These pronouns, you, is speaking of a group of people. He's speaking of the church of Philippi. So what is he talking about? He said, man, I would love to go with my Lord. No more problems, no more struggles, but it's more needful for me to stay for you. Obviously, Paul's saying it's because life is not about me. I'm here to minister, to serve you. And so Paul says, you and I, many times as Christians, think everything revolves around us. Life is about me and my happiness and my fun and my family and my friends and all about me and what I can do and my health and everything about me. And Paul says, no, it's not. Who made you think that? We are here. God has placed us here to magnify Him, to multiply ourselves, and to minister to others.
Amen.
That word minister is a very fancy word for the word serve. In other words, you and I are here to serve God, to serve others. Now, it would be easy, and maybe I should ask you, how many of you all want to serve God with your life, in your lives? You want to magnify Him. How many of you all want to serve God? Would you raise your hand? Man, I do. The whole of us, we say, yeah, I want to serve God. But listen, here comes the tricky part. Do you know it is impossible? Follow with me. It is impossible to serve God. Follow with me. It's impossible to serve God without serving others.
Amen.
And do you know where some of the biggest struggles are? Let me veer back to the churches in Argentina, because I know this is not a struggle here. But you know what? In the churches in Argentina, some of the biggest problems were amongst, not these outward fights of people throwing these rocks. Yeah, we had people who didn't like us, and, you know, people against us, and we had people rob, and, you know, all kinds of crazy things. But you know what? The biggest problems weren't the people from the outside, the exterior. It was the interior amongst each other.
Right.
Getting along and loving each other and serving each other and going forward together as one army for God.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know how many times, I remember a lady in Argentina, she said, I came to church, she said, Pastor, I want to let you know something. I said, sure. She said, I want to let you know that I forgive you. I said, great, thanks. Didn't know I did anything, but thanks for forgiving me. By the way, what am I being forgiven for? She said, well, you know, about 4 months ago, I know you know this, but about 4 months ago, you walked into church, and I know you saw me because you looked in my direction. But you know, about 4 months ago, you walked in, and I was standing right there, and you began to shake people's hand. You walked right by me, and I know you saw me. And since that day, I've been mad at you. I thought, are you serious? Why don't you tie a stone around your legs, jump off the bridge? No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, for real? You're mad at me because of that? I mean, it was so crazy. But listen, how many times we look amongst each other and we say, you know what? Did you see what she was wearing today? I can't believe. Did you see that jerk? Did you see how he looked at me? I know he saw. Oh, man, that guy makes me mad. I can't believe it. And we're very spiritual going, talking to God.
Right.
But we're lacking in the part of serving right here.
Amen.
And so if we are going to serve God, we must learn to serve each other. God has placed us here not so that we can get, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the example for all of us in John chapter number 13, when he was up there in that upper room, he grabbed the hold of, they finished, he grabbed the hold of a towel, and he began to walk by, and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. And Peter said, what are you doing? You aren't touching my feet. And he said, then I have nothing to do with you. He said, wash my feet and my head, all of my body. Take all of it. And the Lord said, I'm trying to teach you something so that you will go out and do likewise. We are to serve each other. And then he commands later in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, he says, serve one another. You see, you and I are to serve. Now listen, the biggest problem in the days of Jesus Christ, boy, the need was great, but there was something that was few, the laborers. The problem is not the group. The problem is not the amount of people who love God, the amount of people, rather, who want to get involved in God's work so that we can continue going forward. Let me ask you, dear friends, and please understand, I do not want to demean or belittle anybody, because the Lord knows that once I point one finger, I got three or four looking back at this ugly face. So I am not pointing any fingers. But when was the last time that you picked up the phone and texted somebody who hasn't been at church lately? When was the last time you baked a cake or a pie or something and took it over to somebody who hasn't been, maybe he's upset or maybe he's mad? When was the last time you took it over and said, hey man, just been thinking about you, have a great day, and just walk away? When was the last time you called somebody and said, hey, we really missed you the other day. Bob preached an awesome message. Wish you were there. When was the last time you just tried to simply minister to other people? Instead of coming to church and saying, I wonder what I can get today. When was the last time you came and sat there and said, I wonder what I'm going to learn so I can put it in practice in my life? See, God has placed us here to minister to other people. Go with me very quickly to the book of 1 John in chapter number 3. 1 John in chapter number 3. 1 John in chapter number 3, very quickly. 1 John in chapter number 3. See, God placed us here for a reason, dear friends. And so many times you and I are quick. I am very quick. I get involved and so many things begin to happen and life becomes so full and I've got so much going on. And boy, I'm running around and all of a sudden I'm doing all these different things and forgetting about the real reason I'm actually placed upon this planet. And so I'm busy about life, but it's really all, what are you busy doing? Maybe we're not doing what really matters. Maybe we're not doing what really is a good investment in our life. At the end, really, it doesn't matter, because once we're laying on a bed, all that we have is what's laying on that table. Nothing else that we have, and vehicles and houses and everything else, that's not all going to go with us. So what are we here for? We're here, and go back with me if you would. Think about it. We are here, number one. What are we here for? To what?
Magnify.
Would you say that? What are we here, number one, for what?
Magnify.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Are you magnifying? How's your testimony? I'm not talking about an outward. I'm saying your attitude and your actions. And Proverbs chapter number 3 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. and he shall direct your path. So are you here, when somebody sees you, do they say, man, you're different, man. I appreciate your attitude. Wow, your family, it's different. Wow, everything about, boy, this is just wonderful. Can they see Christ through you? Are you magnifying him? But not only are we magnifying here, number two, we are here, what are we here for? To what? Multiply. Would you say that? What are we here for? Number two, to what?
Multiply.
Are we multiplying ourselves? When was the last time we simply took a track or opened our mouth or said, hey, why don't you come to church with me? When was the last time we did something, an effort to evangelize, to spread the gospel, to multiply ourselves spiritually so that other people can hear about the gospel? We can't blame President Obama,
right,
and we can't blame anybody else when right. we that have the truth are not fulfilling what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
And so we must do our job. So we're here to multiply. But number three, not only here to magnify and to multiply, number three, we are here to what?
Minister.
Would you say that? We're here to what?
Minister.
Serve. And as we serve God, as we serve each other, we go on doing God's work so the body can stay together. Listen, if we as a body are not in agreement, if we in a body have problems, we invite somebody to church and they say, really? You want me to go there? Dude, you guys can't even get along and you want me to be part of your fight now? No way. I'm not having anything to do with that.
Good.
But what could happen if the army of God stood hand in hand, elbow in elbow, all stood up and went the same way? Buddy, some good things would happen, wouldn't it? 1 John chapter 3, very quickly. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 17. The Bible says this, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Here's the question. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Allow me, if I could. Very respectfully, I want you to think about this. Paul in the book of Romans in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, and Romans chapter 10, same thing. Paul said, my brethren according to the flesh, the Jews. Now your brothers are all mankind, our neighbor. Remember that man went up, Jesus said, so who's my brother? And the Lord said, look around, buddy. There they are, all of them. It's just not just the people at church. And he says, all of them. When we have this world's good, and then I'll stop one second. Instead of speaking, you know, that sometimes we think this world good, okay, he who's got money needs to share with other people. No, that's what I'm talking about. The best good that there is in this world, you know what it is? It's having the assurance of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's knowing you're going to heaven when you die. Remember, I believe it's Luke chapter number 10, they came back and said, Lord, it was awesome. We went around all these demons, they submitted to us, and we were able to heal people. Man, it was awesome. And the Lord said, no. You've lost track. What you should be excited about is that your name is written down. That's what you should be excited about, that we are saved. What a blessing.
Amen.
And you and I that have this blessed assurance, when we see our brethren in need, when we see the people that are our brethren according to the flesh, they're sons of Adam, that they're out there and they do not have what we have, we see them and we hold it to ourselves and, man, that's somebody else's problem. They don't live in my neighborhood. And when we hold it, and we don't share it, the Bible says, how in the world can the love of God dwell in us? Because we need to share it with somebody. So I ask you this morning, it's very simple. What are you here for? What am I here for? Yes, there's specific details maybe that we can go into, and you know very well, and God might have someone to work here and someone to work here, but I'm talking about very general. What are we here for? We are here because God has a specific purpose. I remember, when I was a kid, there was this game, and it was called Red Rover. Anybody ever heard that game? It was so cool. Man, I used to love that game just because I like to hurt people, you know? Anyway, so we would stand. There was two different groups, and we would stand, you know, elbow and elbow, all of us on this side and all on that side, elbow and elbow. And so we'd stand, and all of us would stand and say, Red Rover, Red Rover. We'd all repeat, Red Rover, Red Rover, send Johnny right over, whoever. And here he'd come, and so he would let go of them. He would come running and say, get ready, guys, and we'd hold on like this. And man, when he would come flying, you know the game, he'd come flying. If he could break our chain, then he could take this whole half to his side. But if he couldn't break the chain, he fell down. We said, ha-ha. So he had to join our group. And so we would, man, we would do our best to, let's hold strong, tight on, you know, tight together, and then we could do some great and awesome things. But listen, what about spiritually speaking, if you and I hold strong, we all realize why God has placed us here. And we all begin to say, let's minister to each other as we minister to God, and let's bring more in our family. Buddy, some wonderful things can happen. I love to read missionary biographies, and one of them was a young man. He was 17 years old, and he made his way to Chicago to work in his uncle's shoe store. As he made his way over to work in his uncle's shoe store, his uncle had only one prerequisite, and he said, you have to go to church. I said, fine, you know, whatever, as long as I can work here. And so he went to church. Well, after a while, a Sunday school teacher started visiting him at the shoe shop in Chicago. And as he began to visit him, his name was Kimball. And as he began to visit him, he began to talk to him. Finally, he won this young man to the Lord. This young man began to grow. And boy, God was using him. Later, he began to serve God in an amazing way. And this young man's name was D.L. Moody. He went all around the United States and all over in England, all over in Europe. And he began to share. And he had big revivals. And literally thousands of people were saved. And a turning point in his life was when he was this young man and he heard this preacher came in and he said, you know, the world has yet to see what God can do with one individual totally surrendered and given out to God. D.L. Moody heard that and he said, God, let me be that man. So I ask you this morning, will you say, you know what? Independence in Kansas City has not seen what God can totally do with an individual totally surrendered and given out to God. Will that be you? Do you realize why God has placed you here? Will you fulfill that? Let's all get together. Let's stand for the Lord and serve Him together. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Father, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I'm so thankful for these wonderful people that are so attentive, Lord. Now do the work that I cannot do, God, to move into work in the hearts and lives of these sweet people. Lord, bless Bob as he leads the church. Bless these wonderful leaders of groups. And God, bless all these great people here. And use them, Lord. And may we realize so many times we get about our own life and busy and go around everything, Lord, and we forget really the reason that we're here for. And so, Lord, may we jump back on track, if anything else, today. And may we say, God, I know I'm here. I know how you placed me. So, God, I'm going to get busy about it. And I'm going to serve you with everything. Lord, bless Bob as he continues with the service and as he guides. And Lord, and I ask that you would help all of us to respond in our hearts and say, Father, whatever you want, here's a blank piece of paper with my signature. Whatever you want, God, here's my life. I lay it out for you. If you want my children, God, I lay my life down as a bridge so they can cross over and you can use them. If you, God, want my life or my spouse or what, God, you name it, it's yours. It belongs to you. I'm only here upon this planet, God, to serve you. We love you, Lord. Now, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father.